Question 68. Why are angels more perfect creatures than human beings? As you remember, we said you're talking about the angels naturally by nature being more perfect than human beings. In other words, they're more like God, who is pure intellect. We have two major limitations as human beings. We have a soul which has a mind and a will. But we cannot acquire any thoughts in our mind except through our bodies. There is no acquisition of ideas in the mind except through the body. And secondly, there is no communication of ideas between us, human beings, except through our bodies. The angels, on the other hand, do not need either bodies to acquire ideas or bodies to communicate ideas. Their ideas are directly conferred by God, where God wants to communicate and where the angels wish to communicate with one another. Their act of the will is the only condition for their communicating their ideas. Thus, we can talk to the angels. The angels, as angels, have no ears. Do we have to speak, shall I say, out loud, to have the angels hear us? No. What about the souls? Do the souls in heaven, now, do they have ears? Does St. Francis have ears?
No.
Pardon me. Does Our Lady have ears?
Yes.
So, ideas can be communicated between spiritual beings by the will choosing to communicate the idea. But as long as we are in a body, and those to whom we wish to communicate, as long as they have bodies, neither we nor they have any choice. You've got to make some sound. We've got to do something which the person with whom we want to communicate the idea and recognize as a means of communication. For example, can two people communicate with one another? Sometimes when I give a homily in chapel, I tell the people, now, just tell me, does Christ have two natures? Does Christ have two natures? And shake your head. Is this way or this way? I'm asking you, does Christ have two natures?
Yes. Yeah.
Which? Well, how do you shake your head? Does Christ have two minds? Question, not have two lines? Well, next question. Just shake your hands. Does Christ have two wills?
Yes.
When God, first of all, just shake your hands. Did God become man?
Yes.
When God became man, did he become a real man?
Yes.
When God became man, did he have a real human nature?
Yes.
Does a real human nature have a mind?
Yes.
Does a real human nature have a will?
Yes.
Did Christ have a mind and a will before he became man?
Yes.
Whose feast is today? So, now back to where we started. Did Christ have two minds?
Yes.
Did Christ have two wills?
Yes.
That's the main reason that God became man. God became man not mainly to have a human body and a human soul, which could separate and causes death. God became man mainly to have a human will, so that he could willingly, voluntarily, freely choose to die. That's the most important lesson that God became man to teach us, to choose to die. Do we need to learn that lesson to choose to die? Now, long before our body dies, we've got to die to what? Die to our self-will. I tell married people that's the hardest part of your married life. And her name is Hilda, dear Hilda. The hardest job you're going to have in life is to surrender your will. Spell his name is Matthew. Hilda, submit your will to Matthew. And Matthew, hardest part of your life is to bend your will to Hilda's will. If you love somebody, what do? You surrender your will. That's the best definition of love. You give your will to the one whom you claim to love. All kinds of substitutes for giving the will. All kinds of presents. All kinds of cheap things. Okay. Back. So, 68 means the angels are more perfect by nature. We are not saying they are more perfect by grace. And I think we asked in our last class, Our Lady is Queen of Angels. She is surely more holy than all the angels, and yet a very human being. That's Mary. 69. Did God have to create the angels? No. Question. Did God have to create anyone? Did God have to create anything? Did God have to create us? Could all of us have been fleas? Could he have been rabbits? Thank you. And this is the first act of gratitude we owe to God is, Lord, thanks for making me a human being. And there's only one thing that he wants in return. What does God want in return? Our wills. To use what he gave us to do whose will?
His will.
Okay. He's not bound to create either a more perfect or the most perfect universe. He could have created a world with no angelic creatures. And of course, with no human beings. Let me skip the introduction. Go to the question. Question 70. How does the church identify the angels as pure spirits? She identifies the angels as pure spirits in four ways. First, by declaring that the angels are spiritual and not corporeal. In other words, the adjective pure means there is no body in an angel. And as we've said more than once, you're living in, and I say this safely, the most materialistic culture in human history. Unless something is perceived by the senses, as we can see it, or hear it, or taste it, or smell it, or touch it, we call it what? Nonsense. And every dictionary in English defines nonsense as pure fantasy. It's not real. And this is the most basic truth, the most basic truth that we better know. When our bodies die, is that which leaves our body, does that have any, you might say, any sense perceptibility? Can that be perceived by the senses? The moment a person dies, looks the same, the body begins to cool off, even the warmth stays there for a while. Does a dead body weigh the same as a living body? Yes. If you take a picture of a dead body, it looks like it's sleeping. Is what left that body which is now dead? Is that nonsense? Am I making sense? And notice in English, I even have to use the word, does it make sense? As though sense is a synonym for reality. Am I clear? We are the most English speaking world is the most mesmerized, the most hypnotized, the most brainwashed culture in the world. The greatest reality in the world, who is God, now being perceptible by the senses, is nonsense. And that is why I just got clearance from Doubleday to bring back the big modern Catholic dictionary into print. And going to I'll bring it up today too. Because we need to have a Catholic understanding of our words. Okay. How does the church identify the angels as pure spirits? By describing the angels as invisible. thus they are not perceptible by the senses. So what? Did the sense perceptible world always exist? No. Only one reality always existed. The non-sensible reality of God. And that is why over the years, as I told you, my background is Byzantine. Began reading Karl Marx at the age of 14. I've gone through the textbooks used in Russian schools under the communists. And in teaching philosophy, this is millions have been taught. There is no reality which is not sensibly perceptible. There's no reality which is not sensibly perceptible. Is that true? My God. I can't even say my God. As I believe that there have been, there is, and the most important reality in the world is not perceptible by the senses. Again, by distinguishing the angels from the material universe. In other words, we as human beings, we are part of the visible world. We are. The angels are not. And finally, by stating that God, who created human beings, who are composed of both body and spirit, in other words, that God, who existed from all eternity, and let's be clear, only God must exist. And that, over the years in teaching theology, that is the best definition of God. God is the absolutely necessary being. God cannot not exist. He is that being who cannot not exist. We can not exist for the best of reasons. Shall we say time was where we did not exist? In fact, time began with creation. Time did not exist until God created. Because time is a measure of change. You cannot measure what does not exist. God cannot be measured. God existed from all eternity. As soon as creatures began to exist, time began. There were no creatures before time. We go on. 71. Among the three ecclesiastical sources, which is the most authoritative, that is, oh, where are we? Did I skip something? Which is the most authoritative source for our knowledge about the angels? The most authoritative source, as we've said more than once, is the Fourth Lateran Council. The First and Second Vatican Councils just repeated what Fourth Lateran Council declared. And just to refresh our memories, the Fourth Lateran Council met and condemned, especially Manichaeism. Manichaeism, which by then had become Albigensianism, which claimed there were two sources of everything in the world, a good source, a good God, and an evil source, or an evil God. And the devil is a source of everything evil, and God is a source of everything good. And the Fourth Lateran Council condemned that. No. The devil himself was good. He became the devil by not willing to submit himself to the will of God. And that, by the way, is a good definition for the devil. Anyone, angel or human being, becomes a devil by refusing to submit their free wills to the will of God. We become devils. And we better hear that today. This is not profanity. This is just good, straight theology. What is our biblical basis for saying the angels are pure spirits? The biblical basis is the consistent use of the word spirit when speaking of the angels. Now, St. Paul asked, are they not all ministering spirits? Letter to the Hebrews. Again, Christ is said to drive out the spirit by a word, referring to the Savior's exorcising people possessed by the evil spirit. This coming Wednesday, our teleconference, Wednesday, 7:30 Eastern Time, will be on exorcism. In other words, the Bible always speaks of angels as spirits, implying, so the church teaches, that they do not have bodies. How do you reason negatively to the angels being pure spirits? Sacred Scripture says nothing about the angels having their own bodies. And most of them have bodies which they assume. Moreover, there is no mention in the Bible of the souls of angels, nor of anything that would suggest that the angels were composed of body and spirit. But now positively, how do you reason to the angels not having bodies or being pure spirits? The term angel refers to the mission, not to the nature, to the mission of the angels. They are to minister to our human needs. But the consistent use of the word spirit argues to the nature which the angels have. It is a nature that is not composite of body and soul. There are three types of intellectual beings are spoken of in the scriptures as spirit, namely God, the human soul, and angels. When the soul is called a spirit, the term is never without a context which implies relation to a body. For example, the spirit of man, our spirit, the spirit which is in man. There is the term spirit is used of God without qualification. God simply is a spirit. And consequently, when used of angels, also without qualification. However, it took the church's infallible teaching to tell us the angels are pure spirits. And you're not going to patristic evidence. As you know, patristic is the adjective which has to do with the fathers of the church. Patres in Latin is fathers. So the fathers of the church, those are the great saints and writers up to about the year 800 A.D. Thus, St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, two great doctors of the church, St. Jerome, St. Gregory Nazianzen, St. Gregory of Nyssa, they are fathers of the church. As I said, my plan is to make this into a book to be published. And my hope is that by the end of the summer, I will have finished this catechism textbook in angelology. And one reason, as I think I told you, for concentrating on the angels this semester was because I'm living next door with the priest who are called canons regular of the Holy Cross. But his most important apostolate before they became canons regular of the Holy Cross was to promote devotion to the angels. I'm told there are 15,000 lay people belonging to the Opus Angelorum in the United States. 15,000. But being the field where I am, I promised them I would help them, help their community to understand the angels. So I thought I would kill two birds with one stone. Thanks for your patience. Do we have any questions? What do you recommend for someone who doesn't believe in the devil? Now that person's problem is deeper than maybe he or she realizes. I would say ask the person a few questions. Number one, do you believe in God? The person says, yes, I believe in God. Do you believe that God created the world? Yes, I believe that God created the world. Do you believe that man, created by God, has both a body and a spirit? Says yes, I believe that man has both a body and a spirit. Do you believe that there are creatures in the world that do not have a spirit? The air we breathe, sun, moon, and stars. Yes. Do you think that God, who is a spirit himself, could create just spirits, spiritual world, could he? Oh, I guess he could. Can you give me one reason why you think God did not create, well, a spiritual world which is both good and evil? 80 years of dealing with people who deny articles of faith. Don't try to, you might say, answer their objections. Put them on the defensive. Ask them why. You might ask the person you believe that there are good angels. You'd be surprised. You may not believe there are good angels either. And why not? Now, that was St. Augustine's problem. He didn't believe, as we would say now, in the devil as a being who tempts human beings. So, I think the main reason why some people deny the existence of devils is because they've been so brainwashed by our culture as not to think that whatever is good is caused by some power which is good, whatever is bad is caused by some power which is bad. But don't you dare say that what is evil is caused by a will. Either my will or the devil's will tempting mine. I'll argue with people who don't believe in devils. Their problem is never theological. Their problem is always moral. You have problems with some moral virtue. They don't want to. In other words, admit that they are giving in to temptations. I'm sorry, but it should be dark for me to read. So, sorry. Why do parish councils base unanimous consent of all members instead of Robert's Rules of Order that was used before Bishop Mitre, unanimous consent commission. Well, only God knows why human beings use their free will the way they do. Only He knows. What do you know about the recent assertions that the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe is false? Well, I haven't read anything except what I do know about rather recent or more distant assertions that the apparitions of Our Lady are false. One thing I'm absolutely sure, those assertions are false. Thanks for the question. What is the significance of the Jubilee year of 2000? Well, over the centuries, the Church has celebrated a Jubilee either every 100 years or every 50 years or even depending on the Pope, 25 years. Now, the significance, of course, is to obtain special grace from God. Not just for the year 2000, but for the next millennium. However, I would say that the year 2000 AD has very special significance because it is about 2000 BC. The chosen race began. So it's about 2000 before Christ and now 2000 years since Christ for the chosen people, twice 2000, 4000 years since the chosen people were, well, chosen by God to have the Messiah born from them and then proclaim salvation to the whole world. But I would say there is another many reasons. I've been telling one audience after another. The 20th century, that's the century now coming to a close. Since 1900 to 1999, the 20th century, only God really knows, but I repeat, I'm convinced, is the most sin-laden century in human history. More abortions in the world in 1 year now than there had been in all the previous centuries of human history put together. More homicides, more wars, more war deaths than ever before. Never in the history of the human race has any nation legalized homosexuality. Just legalized, as you all know, by what nation? Well, Canada. And to be legalized also in the United States. And before Christ, only one nation legalized abortion and contraception. That was the Roman Empire. With Christianity, abortion, contraception were forbidden by the civil laws of every Western country. In other words, more immoral laws have been passed in the 20th century, all the previous centuries before put together. In other words, as the present Holy Father expects, that with the year 2000, there will be, please God, the dawn of a new era of Christianity. But the price is high, very high. And the price, the Holy Father tells us, is martyrdom and being killed for our faith. Being killed for our faith would be, I mean this, an easy way out. Would you tell us your or more about these owls? Why they are considered evil? Well, I don't know that much biology. But some of you, I'm sure, know much more biology than I do. Can the owls, do you all have a very sensitive eyesight. How do owls, shall I say, support themselves?
Eating mice. Prey in the dark.
They?
Mice in the dark.
They?
Prey mice in the dark.
In the dark?
They can see a match lit from a mile away.
And even? Did you say even in the dark can they see?
One match for a mile in the night.
Yes. So that's certainly one reason. In other words, they are so perceptive for their own advantage. In other words, perceptive, able to see what they want and then get it. What is the teaching of the Catholic Church about ghosts? Is there a good book I could read about ghosts? Some people in my family think they have been in their homes. Well, this one problem, well, there are 1,000 problems with the English language. This is just one. The word ghost in English, oh, he's seeing ghosts. You know, touched. And to satisfy the English language, you know, people even drop the word in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Did you know we used to say that?
Yeah.
Did you know that? Sometimes you look around for a loose, heavy object. First of all, ghosts in the English language are figments of the imagination. Now, the word ghost comes from the German, which corresponds to spirit. Now, are there ghosts? My gosh, that's what this whole course on angels was about. Father, stop your joking. No, this whole course was on ghosts. See how brainwashed we become? So then, there are three kinds of ghosts. There is one ghost who is called the Holy Ghost, who is the third person of the Holy Trinity. A second ghost, well, the ghost that God created remained faithful to God, otherwise known as the good angels. Okay, there are four. And there are some ghosts that are angels, but disobeyed God. They became the bad angels. And there's a fourth ghost. My dear ghostly friends, how are you? The only reason that I'm speaking, and hopefully that I'm getting some ideas across, is because I have a ghost, and I believe all of you have a ghost. Otherwise known as our souls. Now back to the question. What was the question?
Yeah.
some people in my family think they have them ghosts in their homes. Sure they have. It would be an empty house. And what I think, however, is behind the question is, speak of haunted houses, right? And